Ladies and gentlemen, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Average Gods Podcast. Welcome to AGP episode 10. I think this is episode 10. So many anniversary here. I'm Robert Kaler. It is June 10th, 2017, coming at you from South Orange Studios here in very, very humid and dry and dusty South Orange, New Jersey. It has been a hell of a week. A lot going on. And I say it's been a hell of a week, and as always, been in the lab, been thinking things over. Not going to be changing too much, but decided I always begin the episode by going, it's been a hell of a week. Why not tell what's going on in that week? Now, I'm not going to tell you what's going on in my life. I'm not any kind of YouTube vlogger. I'm not Zoella, not Alfie. So if anybody knows who they are, let's talk about what else is going on. So I think what I'm going to start doing is taking about one or two or three minutes and just sort of going over what's been going on with YouTube, going on what's been going on with media in general. Not really the news. Don't really want to cover the news. I think enough people cover the news. So I'm not going to focus on that. Just want to focus on maybe that those hot, juicy memes, hot and juicy, fresh off the grill, the tasty, put a little barbecue sauce, put them on, put a patty over it, put some bacon on it, put them between two buns. Tasty, juicy, all-American memes, or international memes, whatever it might be. Let's start off. So I don't know if people know this, but, and again, the memes are always evolving. The Pokemon joke is every meme is always getting a fire or a water stone or a leaf stone put to it. They're always evolving. No one's hitting B on memes and stopping the evolving. So I could be late on this one. It turns out that there's a fetish on YouTube. You know, shock, as if we haven't seen enough with the ASMR trend going on. There's a thing called sneezing, and it turns out the YouTube community really enjoys it. Well, I guess people within the community really enjoy it. So there's these videos, and I encourage you, if this is something that gets you going, number one, you should probably go see help. But, you know, number two, then just do your thing. Enjoy. But there is videos where people just sneeze. Now, sometimes these are accidental, right? If you want to look up the president sneezing, for example, enjoy. Kim Kardashian, right? She's like sort of that poster child of the celebrity in 2017. If you want to just look up her sneezing, you can look it up. So people put them together, but there's also people who are basing their entire channel around sneezing. Like that's their content. And obviously there's a fetish associated with this. You know, do what you just so you know. I mean, it's very odd. It's usually young Japanese girls or Asian girls, just more. I mean, I think the fetish comes from Japan because Japan is like 90% of the world's exporter of weird shit. Don't quote me on that. I don't have official international trade statistics in front of me. But if weird shit comes, it's probably coming from Japan. The source is Japanese. So that's the one videos that I've seen in my research. Largely, I would just say it's Asian women, and they're very young, and there's like a fetishizing of how innocent or how cute they are. I think that's fine, especially like the noise. I can understand. God, this is so. Where the hell is this podcast gone? It's odd. I get that, and I'm trying to put my I'm trying to sneeze a mile in these other people's noses. Oh my God. We're already going off the rails. So I get that there's a cuteness factor about it. Like when some girls sneeze, I guess, and there's men ones too. There's male sneezing, but man, you want to just, if there's a supply, that means there's a demand. I think it's a little bit weird though, that it's always, when there was a video in particular I watched of she must have been part of some Japanese pop group. Gotta be in like her early 20s, very petite Japanese girl. She's signing autographs, and then she sneezes, and in a very weird response, everybody around her went, "Ah," Like, as if she's some fucking cat or she's a dog, something like that. It's a bit weird. It's a bit odd that that's the response is, ah, like she, again, it's fucking weird, man. But it's the internet and you gotta love the internet. So that's what I've noticed about it. So if you're interested in that, go fucking figure that shit out and figure out. Just, you know, just keep your fucking pants on. That's all I would ask because, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's, I don't know, it's not harming anybody, but it feels like I could feel it. Feel it like in my chest. I can feel it in my like intestine that there's a weird sexualization going on, and I just don't get why the normal response is just not God bless you like it's been, or bless you like it's been for, I don't know, probably ever. All right, yeah, so that we go from sneezing to probably one of the juiciest. I mean, you want, I go to the last aisle in the supermarket, buy 3 gallons of Welch's grape juice. This is a juicy meme. I hope you all know who Jake Paul is. Jake Paul, within the past, I don't know, 2 weeks, has gone from a shitty Viner, RIP Vine, by the way, to pretty much Kendrick Lamar's gonna try to, you know, try to just recover because the rap game has been taken over by Jake Paul. He is a, at least from my research, he was on Vine, then he got picked up for the Disney Channel to do a show called Bizark. There's a Disney Channel show called Bizark. I mean, I don't, if it's not fuck, it's if it's not Victorious, which is always looking like a like the better and better show as that went on. I don't think people appreciated Victorious and how good it was back when it was on. It was a Disney Channel show, and the show is very cringy. Just be ready, you know, put some glasses on, you know, just adequately get your safety precautions and equipment on when you watch Bizarre, because it's very cringy. But he was on there, and then I guess he left there, and this man, if you want to talk about pushes, right? If you want to talk about, like, how things get pushed in mainstream marketing and media culture and pop culture, you know, you think about The Mummy with Tom Cruise, about how they push down movie like some kind of offensive tackle, offensive guard, just trying to push down movie. This man's been pushed to the moon. I had the like company and the studio, I think it's like Studio 78, who is the studio that's behind like The Rock, Lily Singh, or Superwoman. They're behind a lot. So he's getting, and the statistic that I read was he had over $1 million in backing, which is just fucking insane that there's this corporate prototype being just bred to make terrible YouTube vlogs for children. Just literally makes me want to go watch a sneezing video and just throw up. So Jake Paul made his debut song, It's Every Day, Bro. Great, great title. Obviously, the song references what it's like to be a daily vlogger. It's every day, right? You're putting up a daily vlog every day. But, I mean, he's not humble in it, and it's a terrible song. It is terrible. It got number one on iTunes, largely because Jake Paul kept spamming his Twitter, telling all of his child fans to buy it and keep buying it and keep promoting it. And then it hit number one for, I don't know, maybe a couple hours. And Jake Paul has the audacity to go on Twitter and go, at Kendrick Lamar, sorry, Kendrick, but I'll give you the throne when I'm done with it. Like, the fucking balls. The balls on this kid. I think he's like 20. And it's just like the worst video. It's a really terrible song. But he's blown up over the internet. And you can go watch him if you're very interested. Unfortunately, it's not a very good song, like I said, but do what you will, right? You might enjoy it. The lyrics are pretty bad. The beat is okay. It's could be the widest video of all time, so just be ready for that. There's also a guy in it named Prompton. I think his name is like John Prompton or something, and he's this like stocky he's this like stocky English rapper, and he's white, and he's just so awkward. And the infamous part is he goes, England is my city. And if that doesn't just warm your heart to just warm you up to Jake Paul and Team 10. I don't know what will. So you can go check that out. And yeah. Oh, wow. We're going on almost 10 minutes with this. But anyway, that's been the rewind. And I wanted to bring that to everybody because beyond that, beyond the two things happening on Media Land, I wanted to tell a story and tell you about what's going on. So this is what happened to me recently. I was driving down the road and I was driving and I was traveling somewhere. I put on my iPod. My iPod was playing. Weird that people still have iPods. I know. One of the songs that came on was a song called by a band called Black Veil Brides. Now, I had not listened to BVB in a very long time. BVB, or Black... Well, man, the name of the band is just as bad as the acronym, or abbreviation. So, I don't know what else to call them. So, they're kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. I'm a big fan of rock music, a lot of rock, really besides extreme rock, to be honest. And, you know, they're catchy. They have some good tunes. They're you know, they're gonna make that, you know, chlamydia style rock, that catchy stuff, that that rock that you need penicillin to get rid of. It's not exactly rock that's like U2 trying to push the boundaries. It's just catchy, it's bullshit, but sometimes you need that. We all can't be listening to 2112 Rush 21 minute narrative concept albums. It came on my iPod, and I really enjoyed it, and I was introduced to Black Veil Brides a long time ago by an ex-girlfriend, a while ago. I remember listening to them, and, you know, you go through that weird period after you break up where you don't want to associate with the things that you were introduced to, and it's really awkward. So I didn't really listen to them for a long time, but I really enjoyed them, and I basically learned to get over it and be like, okay, yeah, this might have been introduced into my life by someone who I'm not associated with anymore, but I don't give a fuck because the music's good and I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of it. So Black Veil Brides is a band, as they're still active, but they're like, if Jake Paul's cringe, BVB is cringe with anabolic cringeoids injected into it. So they're a band that, like, takes all of their influence from Kiss and, like, 80s hard rock. So they dress... They're, like... But they're also gothic scene. So imagine, like, Kiss. Whereas Kiss was really more of being intimidating. Even though Kiss was kind of a pussy band, right? I was made for loving you! Okay, let's not go into their fucking disco album. So, after all of that, Kiss really had fucking spikes. And they were bleeding from their mouths, and they were kind of they were definitely a heavy metal band that oddly played some of the most, like, mainstream commercial rock, lightest rock and pop rock there was. But nonetheless, they still were a band that, they were still, like, hard, you know what I mean? They could still make hard music. Black Veil Brides is kind of that, but they took all of Kiss and said, let's put all of the emo kids and all of the scene kids. So you take that and they're, you know, they're whatever they are. But it made me think, because I don't know if people know this about me, but I used to be very, very goth back in the day. I did. I used to be very, very emo. And, you know, like we all were in middle school, weren't we? So, I don't know if people knew this, but I used to be in a band back then. I've always been into music and rock, and I've always been a drummer. I used to be in a band called Puncture Blood Packet. It was a band that, you know, for a long time we were in, and it was really amazing, and we used to tour all the time. And I wanted it, and really listening to Black Veil Brides made me go back and think about, you know, back when I was at my most emo, back when I was at my most scene, when I hated sunlight and the world sucked and I was the most moody person in the world. And I just wanted to just let everybody know that I have good news. Punctured Blood Packet is reuniting and I could not be more happy. that this band that used to bring me so much joy and depression. where am I going with this? Is coming back, but I wanted to just run you through, because you might not be familiar with my band, and wanted to just run you through some stuff because we're back in the studio. We're going to put out a record in 2018, so we have all of this year to record and put stuff together, but Punctured Blood Packet's coming back. We're going to be producing the hardest music you'll ever hear. It's going to be, your face will melt, your eyes will bleed, and your heart will also melt at the same time, because we're going to really hit you in the feels, because, I mean, that's what it means to be emo, right? Emotional. Just a little background. So we were, our original band formed in Logansport, Indiana, which is a town that I completely picked out of the blue because it's some small fucking town in the middle of nowhere, and it seems like that's where all the emo bands and stuff came from. So, yeah, we were born in Logansport, Indiana, and, you know, we're just a couple guys who came together because there wasn't much to do in our town, but we came together through music and went from there. Does that sound as, like, sterile as possible and as watered down? So I think I'm still hidden. Still batting 1,000 here. Our sound is very, very hard to describe, but we're going to be putting out largely emo, hard, death grind metalcore. And I'm really looking forward to getting our sound back and seeing, you know, what creative influences we want to choose from. But yeah, emo, hard, death grind, metalcore is usually where we try to stay. I mean, you know, iTunes might classify us as emo, death grind, metalcore, and Spotify might put us as hardcore, emo, death grind, metalcore. But really, we just produce good rock music. So just be ready for that. Just be ready, because we put out a lot of good stuff. So here's our members. Everybody's coming back. Everybody's coming back from their warehousing from their warehousing jobs. Oh, Christ. Oh, man. This just batting 1,000 on this bid right here. So our vocals was Timothy Torture. Gotta love Timothy Torture. Tim's coming back. He's coming back from that pet store that he used to work at. It just wasn't hardcore enough for him, and I completely understand. You obviously, I'm Robert Razor. I've been Robert Razor forever. I also go by Iggy Iggs, but Iggy wasn't hardcore enough. So Robert Razor, you know, I've been cutting shit up forever. Knife's been our guitarist forever. Knife's coming back. That's what he goes. He's like The Edge or Cher or Madonna. Or Rihanna, just Knife. And our bassist, as always, Massacre Mike on bass. Killing it. Massacre Mike's back from prison from after shoplifting cigarettes. So it's good to have Massacre Mike back. I'll give you all some sneak peek about what's going to happen coming in 2018. So the album is tentatively, so don't hold me to this, is called Blood Poisoning. Blood Poisoning is the album's name, and right now it's a concept album about the toxic effects of waste dumpage on local agricultural farms, something like that. I don't know. We're just chucking things out there. We really got to hit the studio and just see where everything takes us. We got to make sure no one gets arrested. We live a very hard rock lifestyle, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. You know, people get wasted every night, trash hotel rooms, and it's gonna be a blast. You know, we're largely playing at venues with at least 30 people. You're killing it. You know what I mean? Just ripping it up every night. Women just everywhere. It's difficult to move sometimes. You come back to the Motel 6 and there's just women just everywhere, just laying around like souls in Dante's Inferno. You can't even move sometimes. So it's hard. It's gonna be a difficult life, but I think I'll be able to handle it. So Blood Poisoning's coming out in 2018. Look out for that. We already have some singles figured out. Number one single is called Bleed the Ocean Red. That's going to be the first single. I think you're all going to like that. It's going to be a really deep track about ocean environmental pollution. So, or it could be just about a breakup, one or the other. I'm not sure. You got to talk to Massacre Mike. He's the one putting the lyrics together for that one. So good, you know, talk to him. Second single is going to be called Mutilation. You know, we're trying to, you see the concepts that we're doing here. I mean, if you want to talk about Kendrick Lamar putting out rap about racial topics and about social awareness, about what it means about a racial divide in America, where someone needs to talk about the toxic effects of waste dumpage on local agricultural farms, and Punctured Blood Packet is there to fulfill that need. We might be emo, we might be seen, we might be goth, but god damn it, we also have a message, and Mutilation, I think, is going to be a track that really hits some people in the feels and really has a lot to say. I'm not going to say we're going to be bigger than U2, but I'm pretty sure U2 is going to open for us. You'd have to talk to our tour manager, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get U2 to open for us. Either that or Fall Out Boy or My Chemical Romance. And if My Chemical Romance opens, they don't get to open for their full act. They only get to play Welcome to the Black Parade and then leave. That's it. It's in the contract, in the writer. But again, it's just so early, guys. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I want to put this out. I want to get everybody interested in the album early on. But for the most part, I can only tell you so much. Knife has a lot. Knife has a lot of input on this. You never know where he's the main music director. Knife graduated from the Juilliard School of Music with 7 degrees in music comp and music theory. And I have no idea where he's going to take this album musically, but I can only tell you what I know. And because I'm busy, I'm working, I'm hustling. So I'm letting these guys do it. I'll come in every now and then, do drums and help them when I can. Someone asked me. Also, our final single, I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to give you guys as much what I can. Final single, War Sandwich. I'll say it again. Final single is titled War Sandwich. Now, that sounds like a Knife song, so don't quote me on that. I've known Knife a long time. That's his style. He's very poetic. He's very, Joseph Heller. He's very postmodern. He's very Thomas Pynchon with his stuff. So that song could be changed as well, but I think War Sandwich is definitely going to be the title of it. Looking forward to all of them. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to our tour. Our tour is going to be called Death Face Tour. Can't wait for that. And we're going to be touring probably local markets and local venues, probably all over. Probably going to play the O2. Sydney Opera House, Staples Center, and Madison Square Garden, just to name a few. Where we got picked up by our old label, fueled by ramen. So it's we're looking forward to it. We're really looking forward to get back into that studio, and I can't wait. Just can't wait. Rick Rubin, actually, yeah, Rick Rubin is gonna be the producer on it. It's incredible that Punctured Blood Packet's coming back. I'll end it. I just wanted to throw that out there. I want to end it with another, just a small story about the one time when we were playing at the Strand, which is a local, really it's a roller rink that's in a very small like house or large. It's like a house kind of, but it's also a building on like a side street, and all the local bands used to play. This is when we were very young, and here's the story. So we're in Logansport, Indiana, and we're just a bunch of good-looking scene boys trying to pick up cuties and trying to just get over in this small town where there's nothing to do and we just hate our parents. That's the true emo life, man. That's what it truly means to be emo. I think we all know that. We're just trying to find love because underneath our bad boy exteriors is just a heart that's just wants to be given to people. But man, sometimes those girls, man, they break your heart. It's hard. They were tough times back in middle school. Shit, they were tough times. I look back at those moments like the beginning of the Saving Private Ryan movie. Where everything's in slow motion, people are getting limbs blown off, intestines are falling out everywhere. Yeah, just tough times, middle school. Okay, so we're at the Strand and we're playing, and there's about 9 people there, and we're just bringing the house down. People are just killing it, and we're killing it. We're slaying everybody like Hercules, and we're just playing so loud that eventually more people start showing up, and there's just an insane amount of noise, and I don't know what we were playing at that point. That was like one of our old albums, and I don't remember what we were at that point, but basically we played so much and so well that someone's face just completely melted. I've never seen anything like it before, but I can only describe it as similar to the Indiana Jones movie when they show the Holy Grail and the Nazi guy's like face just melts into a buttery red blood. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's how good we were. And I tell you this story because after his face melted, they just threw his skeleton corpse on stage. And, you know, fucking Timothy Torture, the ultimate stage man, just picked that up, started dancing with it. We didn't miss a beat. God bless Timothy, one of the best showmen out there. You know, you think about great showmen, there's Diamond David Lee Roth, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, Robert Plant, Roger Daltrey from The Who, Timothy Torture, Bono. He matches right up there. He just took the corpse and just kept playing with it. And it worked perfectly with our act. And, you know, I remember when, like, the kids' parents finally came, they weren't even mad because they just knew we were the music was just so good. They understood what happened, and they were very touched that their son had died in such a magnificent way. They were really honored, which was really good because, boy, that lawsuit would have been bad. And we didn't even have that, like, a lawyer back then. But everything turned out all right. But, you know, while we were there, somebody from Fueled by Ramen was there. They signed us up because they knew, you know, some people say they melt faces by how hard they rock, and we actually did. We actually did. True story. There are some things fake about that story. There are some fake things about this entire podcast, but not many. not you know, you let me, you can decipher them. You can figure them out. But I'm pretty truthful. 100% of the time, I'm truthful 50% of the time. Or something like that. But yeah. All right. This has been a good episode. I hope everybody's interested. I hope everybody is really willing to go back to scene music. I hope everybody willing to go back to listening to Hawthorne Heights and Paramore and Taking Back Sunday, All American Rejects, Papa Roach, Yellow Card, My Chemical Romance. You know, I think it's going to be good. All American Rejects, 3 Days Grace. There we go. Motion City Soundtrack. Listen, emo is going to come back, guys. And don't worry, Punctured Blood Packet's going to be leading the charge. I hope you're all enjoy it. Be ready for our album. Hang in there. It's coming. Thank you for listening to another wonderful episode of AGP. Let's do this outro. You can contact the show at averagegodspodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a review on iTunes if you're interested. I thank you all for listening. On behalf of Robert Razor and Punctured Blood Packet and Knife and Massacre Mike and Timothy Torture and AGP, take care, and we'll see you in episode 11, I think. Take care. Talk to y'all later.